Welcome to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio, where our vision is to build a people established in God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us this morning for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is our senior pastor, Fred Gillenwater, with today's message.
The truth be told for the saving of souls.
Let's go to Nehemiah chapter 5, and we're going to look at verse 6 through 11. Now I became very angry when I heard their outcry and these words. After serious thought, I rebuked the nobles and rulers and said to them, "Each of you is exacting usury from his brother." So I called a great assembly against them, and I said to them, "According to our ability, we have redeemed our Jewish brethren who were sold to the nations. Now, indeed, will you even sell your brethren, or should they be sold to us?" Then they were silenced and found nothing to say. Then I said, "What you are doing is not good. Should you not walk in the fear of our God because of the reproach of the nations, our enemies? I also, with my brethren and my servants, am lending them money and grain. Please, let us stop this usury. Restore now to them, even this day, their lands, their vineyards, their olives, groves, and their houses, also a hundredth of the money and grain, the new wine and the oil that you have charged them." Now, we are going to look at this idea of the fear of the Lord. Remember, they had sinned, and Nehemiah was holding up the mirror, and he was pointing out they're wrong and what they were doing wrong. And that is what had stopped the work. They were beginning to argue amongst each other. They were using each other, charging money and interest and all kinds of stuff going on within Jerusalem. Okay? Now, so the problem was within. Then Nehemiah says it. Look what it says in verse 9. "Then I said, 'What you are doing is wrong.'" He was pointing it out. Then he asked them this question: "Should you not walk in the fear of our God because of the reproach of the nations, our enemies?" You see, because the fear of God protects you from what people say, what people do, what anybody says against you or comes against you with. There's a protection in the fear of God. Now listen, this is the problem. There is a major problem and a lack of the fear of God in America. I am just here to tell you, we need to understand the fear of God. And the fear of God isn't to be afraid of God. It's to have a reverence and a respect and an honor towards God. And when you do that, you're not going to keep repeating negative habits and behaviors because you have the fear of God. You don't want to do anything that gets between you and Him. So you have this fear of God. Am I making sense? And so we're going to look at this today. And you're going to see this. This is important. Because what had stopped the work? Sin. Reoccurring negative habits and behaviors. Now watch this. So now he says, "Should you not have walked in the fear of God?" Now, the fear of the Lord is not the servile dread of a slave toward a master, but the loving respect of a child toward a parent. To fear God means to seek to glorify God in everything we do. It means listening to His word, honoring it, and obeying it. Oswald Chambers said, "When you fear God, you fear nothing else." Nothing else. "Whereas if you do not fear God, you will fear everything else." Nehemiah's life was motivated by the fear of the Lord. His life was motivated by the fear of the Lord. Because you see, he wasn't afraid to point out their wrong and hold up the mirror and show them where they were going wrong. He blatantly showed them where they were going off and why it was causing the work to be stopped. So he didn't fear them. He feared God. He knew that what was important to God was the most important thing. Now, go with me to Isaiah 33, 5 and 6 real quick. The Lord is exalted, for he dwells on high. He has filled Zion with justice and righteousness. Wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of your times. Now that word stability is also the word foundation. And the strength of salvation is the fear of the Lord and is his treasure. Did you get that? So wisdom, knowledge, salvation are all encapsulated in the fear of the Lord. If you fear God, you're going to have wisdom. You show me someone who doesn't fear God, I'll show you somebody who doesn't have the wisdom of God. Because it's wise to fear God. And when you fear God, you get wisdom. You don't just keep repeating the same negative behavior because you fear God. It's not wisdom to keep doing the same thing over and over. Amen? Now, go with me to Psalms 111, verse 10. Keep your place there in Isaiah 33. We're going to look at wisdom for a moment. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do his commandments. His praise endures forever. Proverbs 9:10 says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Same thing, just repeats it. In Proverbs 4, it says, in all you're getting, get wisdom. Get wisdom. In all you're getting, get understanding. Get wisdom, get understanding. Folks, we need wisdom if we're going to rebuild. We need God's wisdom if we're going to rebuild our lives, right? So the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 1 that for since the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God. But it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. The wisdom of God is communicated through preaching. We can receive wisdom through preaching. And it saves us. It brings the salvation we need for the building of our lives. Am I making sense? So we need God's wisdom. It doesn't just come through that avenue, but it comes through the fear of the Lord. Now, remember the parable of the five of the virgins in Matthew 25? Five had enough oil and five didn't. The ones who had enough oil were the wise virgins, right? The ones who didn't, what happened? They didn't get in, did they? They didn't get in. Now, James 1 talks about, 1:5 says, it talks about earthly and sensual wisdom, man's wisdom. That's not the wisdom we need to rebuild our lives. We need God's wisdom. And God's wisdom, folks, when we get that and we have the fear of God, we begin to make decisions and do things. And you know, a lot of times it's painful. A lot of times it's very painful to take the wisdom of God and apply it in our life. But it brings healing and wholeness and joy. Now, I'm reading a good book by Henry Cloud. He talks about a person has an abscessed tooth. And they go to the dentist, and that's very painful, right? Anybody ever had that? And they have that tooth pulled. Well, they get that tooth pulled, and, you know, it's difficult for a while, and on the way home, it's kind of hurts, and, you know, for a couple days, but it goes away. But there's all that pain and stuff from the abscessed tooth, right? But because he went to the dentist and got it pulled, now it's a process of healing. That's the way wisdom works. It was wise to go get that tooth pulled, right? But if you don't pull that thing and you just keep taking pain medicine and just it's gonna create other problems in your life and health. Am I making sense? So the idea is deal with it, right? Go with me to Proverbs chapter 1. So we're talking about wisdom, knowledge, and salvation encapsulated in the fear of the Lord. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the what? But fools despise wisdom and instruction. It's the beginning of knowledge. You know what the word knowledge means? Knowing God. It's the beginning of knowing God. You know, a lot of people say they love God, and I hear a lot about the love of God, but do you really know Him? So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowing God, of being having an intimate relationship with God. Did you catch that? Let me tell you something. If you don't know Him, you can't. How can you love someone you don't know? Right? So when you fear Him, you have that knowledge. You're growing in that knowledge. So now you can really love Him. And when you love Him and you have that knowledge, you're growing it, you don't want to mess up. You want to do what's right. Come on now, am I making sense? Now, there's all kinds of knowledge. There's scientific knowledge, there's mathematical knowledge, there's business knowledge. But folks, we need the knowledge of the Lord. We need to know Him intimately. And that begins with the fear of the Lord. Go with me to Proverbs 2:5 real quick. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. You see that? You will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Folks, we have to understand the fear of the Lord if we're going to rebuild our lives. Knowing God intimately is the key to rebuilding your life. You're going to see this. Go with me to Luke chapter 12, verse 4 and 5. And I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that have no more that they can do. But I say, I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him whom after he has killed has power to cast into hell. Yes, I say to you, fear him. Fear God, right? That's who we fear. We don't fear man. We should not fear man. When you fear man, you're not going to have the fear. You're not going to do God's will because you're too afraid of what other people think. The Bible says the fear of man brings a snare, a trap. So we don't want to be afraid of man. We want to have a healthy fear of God. And when we do, it puts us in places and gets us to places in our relationship with Him that are going to help us to rebuild our lives. Now, it talks about in Isaiah 51, it says, don't fear the reproach of men, nor be afraid of their rivalings. It says, do not fear the reproach of men, nor be afraid of their rivalings. See, folks, if we're afraid of man, it affects everything. This says, for the moth will eat them as a garment, and the worm will eat them as wool, but my righteousness will be forever, and my salvation from generation to generation. Folks, when we fear man, it's like the moth eating it, everything away. You know how a moth eats your clothes. But when we fear God, our salvation gets passed on and on and on from generation to generation. It talks about in Galatians 1:9, it talks about, if I still pleased men, I would no longer be a servant of God. So folks, we want to make sure that if we fear God, you know, we're not going to be concerned with pleasing man. That's how you're going to rebuild your life. Because folks, if you're always concerned about what other people are saying, remember, that's what Nehemiah said. He said, if you have the fear of God, you're not going to be concerned about the reproach, the insults of the nations. So a healthy fear of God is going to move you and motivate you to rebuild your life. Come on, am I making sense? Go with me to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17, real quick. Let's look at this, verse 17. honor some people. Do what? How many? All people. Honor all people. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. You see that? Folks, listen. Honor and the fear of God are very, very closely related and connected. When you honor people and you honor God, that comes out of a healthy fear of God. I'll tell you what. I have seen and talked to people who go to prison and keep going back to prison. And every one of them have a lack of this right here. They have a lack of honor towards certain people. I'm going to tell you something. An honor is an attitude of your heart. Jesus said, they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Folks, when you honor, if you have a lack of honor, you will not succeed in what you are called to do. If you don't honor the people God has placed in your life, that's a lack of the fear of God. You see, it's like being in the military. If you don't honor the captain or the lieutenant, you don't honor, if you honor the position, the bars and the stars and stripes, right? You may not even like the man. You may not even agree with him all the time, but you honor him, right? And that's the idea. You honor the person who's put in the position over you. And when you honor them, that's the fear of God. And folks, that now God can deal with you and elevate you and put you in the place he's called you to be in the rebuilding of your life. Am I making sense? But if he can't trust you and you're always dropping the ball in honoring people, folks, he's not going to, the fear of the Lord, there's no fear of God, then he's not going to elevate, he's not going to promote you in his kingdom. Am I making sense? That is huge right there. The fear of God is really the key. It's one of the secrets, the key to advancing and doing the will of God and work of God in your life. He says in Proverbs 1, the wisest man, Solomon, said, because I have called and you have refused, I have stretched out my hand and no one regarded. You disdained all of my counsel and would have none of my reproof. Therefore, I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your terror comes. When your storm comes like a whirlwind and distress and anguish come upon you, then you will call upon me, but I will not answer. You will seek me diligently, but you will not find me, because you hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. You shall eat the fruit of your own ways and be filled to the full with your own fantasies. For the turning away of the simple will slay them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But, there's that big but, whoever listens to me will dwell safely and be secure without fear of evil. Did you catch that? It's because they didn't fear God. They didn't choose the fear of God. Folks, when we don't choose the fear of God, you see, he doesn't know you then. He doesn't know you. Remember, they cast out demons. They did all kinds of signs. People are looking for signs and wonders and miracles, but you see, they don't want to change. They want to go wherever someone's going to lay hands on them, and it's all going to be done. It don't work that way. In Matthew 7, it says you cast out demons and all these things, but I never knew you. You see, when you have the fear of God, he knows you. In 2 Timothy 2:19, it says this, the solid foundation of God still stands, that the Lord knows those who are his. And let everyone depart from iniquity. Remember, iniquity are those reoccurring patterns in your life. That's what iniquities are. He says, let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Remember the word depart? It was a sailor's term. It means to take up anchor and set sail. Remember? And so when you depart from those patterns, you're removing the thing that's been holding you back. And a sailboat, remember, a sailboat has to be moved by the wind. Jesus said the Holy Spirit is like the wind. So you take up the very thing that's been holding you back. Now you're being moved by the Holy Spirit. And your life is becoming everything that He created you for. Am I making sense? Because He knows you are His. And you know Him. This changes things. You see, it's not a religious, go to church deal. All right. Go with me to 1 Peter chapter 1, real quick. And verse 14. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust, as in your ignorance, but as He who called you is what? Holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Now watch this, verse 17. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here. That's what we're doing now. We're here now for a time, right? In what? That's the fear of God right there. That's the fear of God right there. Now, go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 7, real quick. Chapter 1. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. You see that? Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Perfecting means maturing. Maturing holiness. Holiness means set apart from God. As you're becoming holiness, one of its meanings is wholeness. You see, as you're becoming holy, your life is being put together the way He intended it. And so that, He says, it's maturing in the fear of God. In Philippians 2:12, it says that we are to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. And remember, it says perfecting holiness in the fear of God, right? In Hebrews chapter 12, it says without holiness, no one sees the Lord. So holiness is big in the eyes of God. Am I making sense? He wants to see you becoming that whole person He created you to be. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28. Let's look at verse 27 first. Now this, yet once more, indicates the removal of those things which are being shaken. Anybody going through anything? If you're rebuilding your life, God is removing some things in your life. Removal of those things that are being shaken as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, you see, that's what's going on. The kingdom of God is where? It's within you. And that's where the shaking's going on. That's where all the changes are taking place, inside, right? Remember, the problem was within. So that's where the problems are within. That's what stops the work. Verse 28, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and what? You see that? With reverence and godly fear. I like that. That's rich. Folks, that's how the kingdom is going to be established inside of you. It's through godly fear. Now, Proverbs 14:27 says, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to turn one away from the snares of death. From the snares of death. Remember, death means separation from God. Those things that separate you from God, those traps. When you have the fear of God, you don't keep getting trapped back into the same old habits and reoccurring difficulties. You get out of them. when you have the fear of God, because you're pursuing Him. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the fountain of life, and he who has it will abide in satisfaction. Abide in satisfaction. When you have the fear of God, Proverbs chapter 23, it says that you will abide in satisfaction. You will be satisfied as you walk in the fear of the Lord. There's a satisfaction. You may not have everything you used to think you wanted or needed or whatever, but you're going to be satisfied when you're in the fear of the Lord. Am I making sense? You will be satisfied. You know, when I was over there and the brother John, pastor, that got attacked by the monkeys, you know, he's got this church. He's been there 18 years, and it's just now. It's a little block building, and the ceiling was about this much over my head. I almost hit the fan and got my head bumped several times, but we're going to put a new roof on that, and it's going to expand it. Here's the idea. He's been there 18 years laboring, and it's so full now. He gets about 100 people, and they're standing room only, and they're packed in there like sardines. Well, he showed me, after the story and after we talked and stuff, we said, we want to see where you live. So he takes us to his house right there by the church. It's a like a hut kind of thing with a straw kind of roof, dirt floor, one room, two kids and a wife. I thought, look at this. And these people are happy. They're satisfied. Are you with me? I saw this man's wife had stood by him. Oh, man. I felt the love of God there. You know why? Because he has the fear of God. He's answering the call on his life. You see, she's with him not for what he can do or who he's becoming, because she really loves him. She's standing by him and his call. And they got two kids, happy. And I'm telling you, that's satisfied. That's the fear of the Lord. You see, when you have it, you're not always looking for something else to satisfy you, because you got it. Okay. Proverbs 19:9 says, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. Isaiah 11:2. The spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Verse 3. His delight is in the what? Fear of the Lord. His delight is in the fear of the Lord. This pleases God when you are in the fear of the Lord. Here's what the fear of the Lord is. I read a good book about 6-7 years ago by John Bevere on the fear of the Lord. That's one of the best books I've ever read on the fear of the Lord. If you want a good book to read on the fear of the Lord, that's a good book. And here's part of the meaning that he gave of the fear of the Lord. It says, he said, it's a profound, abiding respect for all that God regards as holy. The fear of the Lord honors what he honors and loves what he loves.
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now. Only the truth and truthfulness can save
us. You have been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio. Our church office and 7 p.m. Saturday evening worship services are held at 340 West Russell Road. Our 10:30 a.m. Sunday service is held at Christian Academy School, located at 2151 West Russell Road. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at www.russellroadchurch.com. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you.